All right, this is Sunday morning, 6:11:23. We're going to do a teaching called Time to Let Go of Your Crutches. This is kind of an unusual teaching because I've never really had the Lord speak to me the way He has, or I can't really say it's speaking, but just a feeling. I know it's not a feeling, that's not incorrect. But anyway, let's get into it. I've sensed this week that the Holy Spirit has said that there are some crutches that we have been holding on to, and He is saying it is time to let these go. To move up higher, we will have to leave some things behind. The Spirit said this specifically to me this week. Quit playing it safe. I want to go over to Ezekiel chapter 47. You know what? Well, I'll wait on that. Okay. I got some more this morning. That's what the small pieces of paper are. I just scribbled them down. Please hear what the Spirit's saying today. It's not Carla Love saying it to you. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through me to you. Because I don't know. I don't know these things. God knows these things. He discerns the hearts of men, not me. I got enough problems of my own. I don't need yours. But the Holy Spirit knows where we are. He knows what it takes, and this is what this is about today, because we are moving forward. This is Ezekiel 47, verse 1 and 2. I think it's supposed to be 1 through 12, actually. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south end of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. This sounds like a revelation where he's measuring the temple, doesn't it? Kind of. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to turn to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Now it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh. I know Brother Hagin one time saw a vision where, I think it was like a flower garden, but these were people. Was that it? Was it flowers? I think so. And they were like a fragrance before the Lord. I'm equating this to this because this is the passage he gave me for this. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even from En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds as the fish of the great sea exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof and on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat and the leaf thereof for medicine. This is millennial. This sounds like the millennial kingdom to me. What's it going to take? It's going to take people that are not afraid to get in over their head. There's a song, it's a Bethel worship song, and I've had it on my heart all week. She's singing a song, and she's saying, I'm not satisfied, Lord, with where I'm at. But you brought me out into the waters, and I'm in over my head. In other words, the Lord wants us to plunge in. He's wanting to take us out into deep waters. But if you've got a toe in and you don't, this all has to do with the flowing of the body of Christ and the kingdom of God and the transformation of the desert and the devastation that we see and the kingdom that's coming. I hope you see the spiritual implication here. God's way is the way of healing. He wants to take us into waters that we can only swim in, more than we can ask or think. To do so, we will have to let go of some things that are weighing us down. Most just stand on the shore and stick their toe in. We know that our warfare is the warfare of the mind. We may feel things in our physical bodies, but the attack is in our mind. Strong, well, like Brother Copeland said, pain is a thought. Strongholds of our minds through programming. The real battleground is the deprogramming by renewing our minds with the Word of God. What are crutches? Webster's Dictionary says they're prop-ups. We've got a few trees that have stakes. We're going to look at a few instances in the Gospels that required for those coming to Jesus an action to receive what they asked for. All right, Luke chapter 4. I know Christians. I've known a few. Been Christians 50 years, and they haven't ever grown. Is that God's will? No. All right, 4:38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Think about it. I wonder, did she feel well? Or did she by faith just get up and start acting well? Have you ever thought about that? We all assume that all of these, well, if Jesus hit them, it must have just been immediately just everything perfectly. Well, I doubt it. Was there a devil then? Brother Hagin in his devotional Health Food tells of a woman that was sick and the physician said she would die. And there was a lady in the church service and she got up and said, I've been over to see my neighbor and the doctor says it's not good. She won't live past midnight, I think is what he said. She said, I think we need to pray for her that the Lord will heal her. And they prayed and everybody agreed and the pastor asked, who all believes she's well? Everybody raise their hand. Well, next day, doctor come in and said, well, she's passed. She's made it over the hump. She's going to be all right. Get her up in a chair. Get her sitting in a chair. In other words, start acclimating her back in. What happened that night? Same lady gets up. Well, I know she's been through a rough time. We prayed for her, and I know we believe she's well, but we need to continue. The Lord will continue this process. Brother Hagin said, the Lord spoke to him and said, they just took her out of my hands. Now she's going to die. And she did. I had people ask me to pray, and we prayed the prayer of agreement. Well, I would just appreciate your continued prayer. I'd say, I've already prayed. I'm not praying anymore about it. People don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe God. Therefore, they'll never contain God's power. That's where you come in. Do you believe God? Do you want God's power in your life? Let me give you something the Lord gave me this morning. Satan will use natural things to reason you out of your stand. When he tempted Jesus with bread, did Jesus say, "Well, I have a natural body to contend with"? No. If he had, he would have missed God. Satan uses the natural to tempt you into giving in to the natural and not moving with the Spirit. Satan knows you can't beat him in the flesh, but you can whip him in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. To whom much is given, much is required. No longer babies. Meat of the word. No more milk. It's what the Spirit's saying. This is graduation day. Jesus had to learn this for the power to be able to work in his ministry. Paul had to learn this for the power to work in his ministry. You must learn this for the power to work in your ministry. If you can't resist in a small thing, well, enough said. I need the mature, not babies, to handle my power correctly. Now, there was a time it said Paul was in his own house and he was not hindered. Paul learned to walk through it, but he had to go through some hard things to get there. And so are you. Stop compromising. All right, we're going to continue on with this. Told you it was going to be different. Don't get mad at me. Look at the Lord. He's talking to you here. Sometimes I think, "Lord, am I just too hard?" He said, "No." How many times have people prayed for people but continued to treat them as if they were not healed? If they had followed the doctor's orders and continued to thank the Lord that she was healed, this woman would have lived. Talk about the one in Brother Hagin's book. Old ways of doing things sure get in the way, don't they? Especially religious things. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and she got up and started doing what she normally did. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. The Lord's saying, you've got a choice to make. Do you want to go forward, or are you going to stay on the shore with your toe in the water? I'm not telling you what to do. You do whatever the Spirit tells you to do, because I'm not calling out anything. That's between you and God, not me. I'm just the messenger. Matthew 8, 2. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be thou clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." I wonder if this guy was walking along and said, "Well, you know, he said I'm ill, but I still see it. I still feel it." Part of his faith corresponding action was to go show yourself to the priest like you believe you are healed. Sadly, most... Wait a minute. Well, let's just look at James chapter 2. The moment that Jesus touched the man and said, "You're made whole," the healing process started in that man to affect the healing and the cure in that man. Who cares if it manifests like that or if it takes a little while? The word was given. It's kind of like what the Lord said. The moment you ask, the angel started towards your answer to bring these words to you. But the Prince of Tyre, he stopped me. But now I have come for your words. Healing's no different. The problem is, you're looking at whether you're healed or not by what you see or what you feel. Do we walk by that? No, we don't. See, that's the enemy's tactic. That's the whole point of this. He wants you to get you looking at what you can see or feel as opposed to what is really true. Isn't that fake news? It is. We ought to be well acquainted with that by now. All right, James 2. This is verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Sadly, most are working their faith, but their faith is not really working. You know what I mean by that? They are confessing and stressing. Action would imply this. Believe it, just act like it is so, and do it till it's gone. Do I need to read that again? Let me read it again. All right. Sadly, most are working their faith, but their faith is not really working. They are confessing and stressing. Action would imply this. Believe it. Just act like it is so and do it until it's gone. Most have a backup plan just in case. You know, we have a body can contend with a stack of crutches over in the corner. You know, the old reliable. The old reliable? You know what I'm talking about? Like Peter's mother-in-law, she got up and cooked and served just like she always did. Was she feeling okay? More than likely, she may have felt otherwise. But this is not what we go by, for Satan is a liar and he brings fear. He comes to steal the word, doesn't he? He comes to steal what God has already said is true. Mark chapter 5. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Sounds like Big Pharma to me. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had got out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touchest me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this deed. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the root of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. I bet he looked like a fool, didn't he? Sounded like one. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tathlatha kumi, which has been interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded they should give her something to eat. Something should be given to her to eat. Why? Well, people eat. Just like the woman. Doctor said, get her up. Put her in the chair. Let her talk to people. They're come back from the dead. Let her act alive. Feed her. Don't let her lapse back and die. Certain actions that need to be taken for those of the living. All right, what was Jesus saying here? Don't coddle her. Don't treat her sick. Treat her as if she is well. How many people do you know that somebody comes through something, they treat them, they coddle them, they... Well, you want them dead or do you want them alive? Do you believe God or do you not believe God? This wishy-washy garbage has got to stop. God can't use that in the coming place where we're going. He can't use that. He won't use that. That's the old way of doing things. Oh, yeah, Jesus is my healer, but my medicine cabinet. Anyway. All right. I know when I bring this up to people on rare occasions about letting go of their crutches and trusting God, I always seem to get this answer, well, you just don't understand. You'd be surprised what I understand. You'd be surprised what I've had to learn the hard way. I understand, believe me. I may not know what you're walking through, but I do understand some things. Well, okay. See, the more we give into our crutches, the weaker we become. My point is to stop your suffering as much as I can. The more you can get on board with the Spirit, the less the suffering you will go through. Okay. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not saying that I got it all together. But I'm not the way I used to be. And neither are you. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. I got a lot of experience under my belt. Enough to help people. That's what this ministry does. It helps people let go of the strongholds of their minds. What are those crutches? Carnal weapons will not defeat the devil ever. Ever. Get that through your head. Ever. They will not. At best, they will mask something for a while so you forget about it. But then, here it comes again. And the process repeats itself. Huh? Only God's word is the one that can demolish a stronghold. All right, 2 Corinthians 10. Three through five. For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Think about this. Every time you use your spiritual weapons, you bring that demon great pain. I've been known to say, if you don't stop, I'm going to pound you into the ground. I'm going to beat you down. So I'm warning you. In the name of Jesus, I'm warning you. Leave me alone in the name of Jesus, or I'm going to beat you in the ground. And you know what? That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Word of God does. We need to quit acting like we have no power to do anything, because it isn't so. This is the formula. Makes me angry. Ephesians chapter 6. And I think what even brings them more pain is you to be able to just ignore it and go on like, that's that shake moment. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, not give in, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's your stand. You stand, you don't run, you don't back down. This is how you bring down those mental strongholds that have had you entrapped for so long. Every time you give in, you lose ground. I hope y'all see this. I'm not trying to take anybody's medicine or anything away from them, but do you want to be pitiful or powerful? See, there's a choice here. God wants to use you in a powerful way in the kingdom. The choice is yours. You can be namby-pamby if you want to, like we grew up under. Nobody ever had the power to do nothing. I've seen more power praying for people out in public and later hearing that, well, God did this. Nothing churchy about it. Nothing premeditated about it. It was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. You just pray a simple prayer. All right. So many try to build themselves up by natural means. I know what I'm speaking about here. I was into diet, exercise, holistic medicine for many years. The Holy Spirit has had to deprogram this out of me. It hasn't been easy. So I can speak from experience, because I was there. The first thing the Holy Spirit showed me was concerning the breast cancer campaign. The Holy Spirit said it was propaganda. The second thing, years later, he said that their diagnostic machines were trickery. He's been setting me up for years. I mean years. Showing me things all along the way. I didn't understand at the time, but now I understand. They get the woman in fear. She goes and gets tested, and wham, bam, she was fine. All of a sudden, she's, you know what? Yeah. Follow the money, honey. The love of money is the root to all evil. That's what all this is about. That's what this system is about. What does a thief come to do? Steal, kill, then destroy. After they gleaned all, bled you dry. They might not be taking our blood like they've been taking them babies' blood for adrenochrome, but they've tried to bleed the lifeblood out of every human being in this flat earth. All right. first thing the Holy Spirit showed me was, I won't go there, I just read that to you. Okay. I'm going to talk about being double-minded, because that's what it is, double-mindedness. And we know what the Scripture says about being double-minded. You got to be single-minded. Either you're going to go with the other or go with what God says. All right, James 1. I think double-minded people just spin their wheels, right? They just spin their wheels. It just prolongs the agony. I know sometimes the stand is very hard. But the thing is, once you stand, and you stand until the devil's the one that runs away, not you, you got him licked. All right, James 1. 1. Well, just 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You're going, say what? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Here we go. Here's the stance I'm talking about. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, it may not be over in just a minute. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that's where we want to be, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, if we've done 2, 3, then maybe 4 would manifest, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, the gift to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. In other words, when you're in the midst of it and you're standing, ask God, is there a plan here? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, a pity party, throwing a fit, crying, boo-hooing, box of Kleenexes used up on the floor. But ask in faith, knowing that we got this, don't we? For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How do you become stable? You don't give in. Right? James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You remember Wednesday night? About the meek, about the humble, about when you humble yourself, about the going low. When you humble yourself, God will lift you up. If you're the proud, he don't work with that. That's what he's talking about here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's humbling yourself. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify hearts, you double-minded. About that. All right, Romans 12. Verse 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Well, let me say something further about this. So, we're to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. So, we give our bodies to God. Kind of like Matthew 6, don't take a thought, saying what we're going to eat, wear, drink, all this mess. So, by doing that, we're not conforming to the world, because the whole world is about everything care. You're toiling and spinning 24/7 over health, over wealth, over everything that you can imagine. That's what the system does. totally propagandized you from the moment you were born until this present day in the world system. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. To me, that's full equipment. If you get in line with God's will, you got the grace and you got the faith to stand and not be conformed to the world and its system and its ways, and to walk in God's ways. The Holy Spirit is saying it's time to let go of your crutches, your prop-ups, your old reliables, and take your stand. Let the devil be the one that must run away, because he cannot get an inroad into you. He's going to go somewhere where he can get some action. Don't let it be you. And I'll end with 1 Samuel chapter 17, what David did. When everybody was in their foxholes and running from the giant, little old David stepped up with his slingshot and said, I'm going to take him out. He ran towards the giant. What did he do? He took him out. Not just him, but his other four brothers eventually. I don't know what Philistines you're facing today, but I'm telling you, God has made you well able. You're equipped through the Spirit of God and the Word of God to handle it. The Lord's just wanting you to come up higher. Let me read this again. Jesus had to learn this for the power to be able to work in his ministry. Paul had to learn this for the power to work in his ministry. You must learn this for the power to work in your ministry. If you can't resist in a small thing, well, enough said. I need the mature, not babies, to handle my power correctly. So all of this training has been for a reason. It's so that you be a well-armed soldier on the field when you're called upon, when you begin to know action. The Lord has to know that he can depend on you. That's what this is all about. That's why he's allowed things to come. He allowed it for Paul. He allowed it for his son Jesus. If you go read that Faith Hall of Fame, they all went through their things. Abraham, he took his son up there to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, I guess it was. Is it Mount Moriah? Anyway, what happened? He was going through with it. He had the knife ready to plunge it into his son, and the Lord stopped him and provided a sacrifice, a ram in the thicket. Jesus.